On the next episode of Sip, Suds, and Smokes.
Today, we're drinking Christmas beers.
The Christmas beers that we're going to be trying today are from Rogue Ales out in Portland, Oregon, Santa's Private Reserve Holiday Stout. Then, from Left Hand in Longmont, Colorado, the Nitro Candy Cane Imperial Milk Stout. Actually, I've been sort of interested, if morbidly so, to try. From the Lost Abbey Brewing Company in Vista, California, a Meritage IPA. Spetzel Brewery in Shiner, Texas, the Shiner Holiday Cheer Dunkelweizen. Abita Brewing Company in Abita Springs, Louisiana, is their Christmas Ale. And here in Nashville, from Fat Bottom Brewing, Noel Spiced Christmas Ale. And if there's time, there might be a surprise beer or 10.
We'll be right back after this break. Almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It's Sips, Suds, and Smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Suds, suds, suds. It's time for more suds.
Ho, ho, ho.
Don't call me that.
She's just staring right at Kendall.
Again?
Carl and Mike.
Is that a family greeting?
It's only the best family greeting. Isn't this the South? Welcome, everyone, to another suds segment where when a fat guy with a beard wants you to sit on his lap, it could be Santa.
And
or,
I did.
Or
again,
it could be good old boy Dave. And no, that's not a candy
or government
cane in his
cabinet
pocket.
Member.
Man, this was so gratuitous.
You stepped right into the wind, you know?
Well, I am your host, good old gal Juliana. Joining me at the table today is good old boy Kendall.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Isn't it, though?
Happy to be here.
What was that? Good old boy wow. Carl, hello.
The weather outside is frightful.
Good old boy Mike.
Is that jolly or just not indicted yet?
And good old boy Dave.
You see, little fellow, every year I shine up my jingle bells for 8 lucky reindeer.
It's that guy. That's what I'm talking about.
Never listened to that quite that way before.
Jingle bells are
out of context.
Shiny.
That really is creepy.
Well, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Yes.
Every beer you drink.
And drink.
That's right. It's that time. Though for those special end of the year, one-off batches that the breweries make.
Is it for special people? Like
sometimes.
Dave again?
Special
sometimes.
Or
short yeah. bus beer?
Yeah. Well, and it's these one-off batches that happen after you run out of the pumpkin beer.
Hence. Oh, thank goodness.
There's that. Today, we're drinking Christmas beers. Good old boy Carl, would you mind giving us today's lineup?
Yes, no problem. All right. The Christmas beers that we're going to be trying today are from Rogue Ales out in Portland, Oregon, Santa's Private Reserve Holiday Stout. Then from Left Hand in Longmont, Colorado, the Nitro Candy Cane Imperial Milk Stout, which I've seen at all the grocery stores and have actually been sort of interested, if morbidly so, to try. From the Lost Abbey Brewing Company in Vista, California, a Meritage IPA. Spetzel Brewery in Shiner, Texas, the Shiner Holiday Cheer Dunkelweizen. Abita Brewing Company in Abita Springs, Louisiana, is their Christmas Ale. And here in Nashville, from Fat Bottom Brewing, Noel Spiced Christmas Ale. And if there's time, there might be a surprise beer or 10.
Probably.
He knows us so well. All right, good old boy Mike. Why don't you give us the suds ratings for today and your best Santa Claus?
Oh, yes. Ho, 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 ho. We'll be discussing and rating these beers with these suds ratings, plus our signature belching sound, boys and girls.
Sounds like Barney.
He's here a cartoon are those,
here are those ratings now.
Look, it's a bass. it's like the bass, you know, shows, you know.
You've been tearing up Rolls Royces in a bear suit.
Yes, I know. Number one, that sucks. Give me anything but a lump of coal in my stocking.
It's kind of like Walter Cronkite, you know, meets Santa.
Number two, what was the missing piece from the toy I just spent 3 hours trying to put together?
Kind of read that correctly.
Kind of Howard Cosell.
Number three, what a relief. I did all the holiday shopping online this year, boys and girls.
It is Cronkite.
Number four, a body should really not make that sound after 3 cups of eggnog. And number five, on Dasher, on Dancer, on... I can't name all the...
All the strippers?
Listen. Listen to that hang time. Give me a slice of fantastic fruitcake from 1984.
Thank you. I'm here for the next 40 minutes, people. It's okay. Give it up. I know. Yes.
Okay.
Watch all those holiday classics, you know.
If only the beers could be worthy of that performance.
I could have done it as like Eddie, you know, in Christmas Vacation, you know, as well. That was the other choice.
You serious, Clark?
Yes.
Okay, Nomies, let's get to it. First one that we are going to talk about is from Rogue. And it is their Santa's Private Reserve. Mocha Stout. This comes in at 6.7% ABV, introducing Santa's Private Reserve 2024 with Portland Coffee Roasters. The festive brew captures the holiday spirit in every sip. Perfect for Santa and anyone needing a holiday lift.
Mike, we want to hear from you, not only as a beer guy, but also as a coffee nerd. Like, what's your...
Well, yeah, the first thing that strikes me is... You know,
smell the coffee.
Adjuncts with without balance. This is it, you know, in a nutshell. This was neither a good coffee nor a good beer before either one started. And combining the cup are just not working well together.
You think this is that coffee that's from the cat poop?
No, it is not. It is not meerkat.
There's no way.
The elephant poop.
A lot of times with beers with coffee in them, I start getting green bell pepper.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And
is that?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. But I don't really get a lot of pepper on this.
You should really call me, people.
No, I don't get that in this. In fact, I actually like this beer.
I do too.
Disagree with really? Mike. I think it's got a lot of flavor up front, and then it fades, and you think it's going to be this heavy, just lingering aftertaste,
and it's not.
It just disappears. It's like you maybe drink a cup of coffee
down really 15 minutes ago. You know, yeah. I'm sorry.
Like it.
I do too. Mm. Yeah, I mean, I think this is. It finishes nice and dry, which I like. I didn't expect it to. I expected there to be a like lactose slap at the finish.
That's
true.
I know
there's not.
I'll give it that.
I like it. It's more coffee than it is stout to me. Mm-hmm. But,
very true. But it's not in check. Yeah. It's just, you know, it just tastes like two watery messes that are just fighting out, you know, on my palate that are just neither one of them are winning at the end of the day. Yeah.
Could you go back into your Santa voice? It was nicer.
Ho, ho, ho. This beer sucks. Boys and girls, you should not make this again. So, yeah. So, I just...
I guess I'm an outlier because I'm digging it.
Well, no, I like it too. Man,
Mike's the outlier.
I think he is.
I am.
But I don't know. Dave hasn't spoken up yet.
No, I mean, like I said, I like it.
You wouldn't have a second glass of it.
I get the coffee... I'm just wondering where the stout is.
Yeah, it's like two things that are apart from each other. There's the stout over here, there's the coffee over here, and none shall cross, except they're in this glass together, and they just don't belong together.
Can we say for a Christmas-style beer that these are really not designed to be drank in more than one per sitting.
To be consumed, right? Absolutely, Carl. I would not consume this beer.
Well, I just, like, I think a lot of these, I'm aging myself a little bit, but like, this is the kind of thing that would show up in a 750 milliliter bottle at a Christmas party and everybody would crack around.
Where's the Irish whiskey? Yeah.
I mean, wouldn't you say that anytime?
Yeah, right.
I'm thinking that right now. But it's, I think with
this
these,
actually would be nice with the lovely little touch of red breast. But anyways,
I think it's very rare that breweries make holiday or Christmas beers that are like designed to stand the test of time. You know, it's just like,
Man, we've had some really good ones. The Noel beer from, what's the name of that?
Belgian.
Yes, the Belgian. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Delirium.
That thing is off the hook.
But that's it. That's kind of an exception to the rule though. But I think for what this is nice. I
feel confident that we're going to find something that we all like less than this.
I'm gonna vote with my fingers and move on for sure. Yeah.
And
I'll go there.
Yeah, we're gonna go 4. Mike, you're outvoted.
Yeah, I didn't like it. So
stop going rogue, Mike.
Santa wants another beer.
I actually got a second pour of it. I really like it.
Huh. Cool. And you know, online they're. I guess Rogue will has a 24-pack of this.
It's a better stout than a great coffee. Isn't that cool?
24-pack?
It's only 6.7%, too, so which is nice. It's not just
big, just enough.
High-gravity beer. It's just enough.
It's enough to leave the party and move on.
No, I'm...
It's exactly what I wanted to do.
It's so grumpy.
I think Carl's prediction's about to come true.
Am I the pissed off elf in the lineup?
So I should also say, I'm again dating myself. Years ago when I was in college, we used to have marching band rehearsal on Tuesday nights. And it was Tuesday night, was under the lights. And so we'd march. I'm in Ithaca, New York, so it would get real cold.
Yeah.
And I was drum major. And so one year they made.
Did you have a special dance too in the beginning?
I mean, of course you do.
Okay.
I'm too old and fat to do it now, but so somebody brought me a cup of hot chocolate, and what it was boiled peppermint schnapps with a hot chocolate packet in it.
Yep. That's describing this next beer for
and
sure.
And so I really don't like mint in beer at all, or really, I hardly drink mint at all. Yeah. Ever since then. So
PTSD. Yeah, sure.
When I saw this can on the shelf in the grocery store, I thought, I wonder if that's going to taste like peppermint schnapps with hot chocolate mix in it.
So what we're talking about, folks, is the Candy Cane Nitro from Left Hand Brewing. This is 9.5% ABV. Take a walk down Candy Cane Lane and experience the aromas of rich chocolate, fresh peppermint, and a hint of coffee. Interesting. It's an imperial milk stout with peppermint added. And we all know Left Hand's milk stout, plus or minus on that.
Do we?
Yes, we do. Because it's been around forever.
This tastes like it's been around forever.
Really?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just kind of washed out.
You know, the aroma on here is not offensive.
You're
we'll
right
be back
there.
In just
well,
a minute.
I agree. You can say that about me.
No, you can't.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Welcome back, everyone. Today we have got our... lights on, trees out, the aroma of pine needles.
Rescue aisle 5.
While we're talking about this beer, I want you guys to be thinking about
the dog yakking on a bone.
Yeah,
Well, sure.
For sure.
But also...
Kendall's yakking out a bone.
I think he killed.
He got it up.
Thank you, left hand. You just killed Kendall. Yeah.
So I'm not going to say who said this at before the break was, this is just a really bad toothpaste that, you know, needs to be spit out. But that is totally... Probably okay. the best description, okay,
so
you know, of this.
Before the break, we started talking about the Candy Cane Nitro Imperial Peppermint Milk Stout from Left Hand
None
Brewing.
None of those words should go together.
Well, so, you know, when we start talking about mint beers, I will tell you the first beer that comes to my mind is the Girl Scout Mint Chocolate Chip Cookie from Perennial.
Yes.
You know, that was a really good.
That actually was.
That was a really good mint chocolate beer. I loved what Phil did with that. I thought it was a, you know, a really great, you know, rendition. It did.
It did,
you know,
justice to the greatest Girl Scout cookie.
It did. You know, it was justice to a great beer.
They made a tag-along beer?
They, you know, no.
Kendall, it was mint, you know what? Yeah. Just get out.
It was really good. So, and I think every mint beer that I've ever had after that has just tasted like crap, including this one. It's just... It is a muddled mess.
It's very counterintuitive to say the words mint and beer together. Yes. Anyways,
it's exceptionally difficult to deal with.
I would say that, you know, whoever was standing there with the mint syrup just should have stopped at
One. We should make a spearmint saison. That would be the greatest thing ever, dude.
No. I almost heard Caperton's head explode in the middle of that discussion. Oh. Yes. He would have just gone, he will I'm going to stab somebody. If somebody makes a mint saison, I'm going to stab him. Absolutely, yes. Yeah.
But okay. But so I have to say this about Left Hand, okay? Because I feel like on this show, we only ever pick up Left Hand beers when we're doing some weird theme, like it's a pumpkin thing or it's a Christmas thing or something. So at some point, we should probably do a Left Hand show of some of their normal beers. But every time we do one of these, it's like it's one of the worst beers in the flight. And this one is like, daggum.
Not great. I really think the Nitro hurts this. I really think... Like, maybe the beer in theory could be good, like a
because it's so muted but it needs
it needs a pop, and you're going to get that from the carbonation. The nitro just kind of washes out the flavors.
And I've had plenty of beers with mint in them that have been over the top mint. In this, I will say they do seem to have dealt with the mint gently. But because it's nitro and there's no sparkle, like there's no like CO2 zip on the back end, it
lingers.
Yeah, like, and I don't know.
And I don't even think this would be good on tap. Like if
it's just not good.
No. Yeah. It just doesn't work.
Fast forward me to Gingerbread Village,
We're
lucky number one on
the one finger
this
salute.
One.
Yeah. Sorry, Luke. Do better.
Wow. Okay.
Okay, wait, before...
Export that to Idaho.
Okay, so while you're thinking about this beer, I want everybody to think about what is your favorite Christmas movie? Because
Kendall.
I know what mine is.
Well, let's spotlight Kendall for a moment.
Well, we should always spotlight Kendall.
What is your favorite Christmas movie? What puts you in the mood? What makes you...
Whoa. The Christmas mood,
okay,
Kendall.
Sorry, the Christmas
mood. Yeah, I've got to go with a classic. It's... It's Christmas Vacation.
Oh, all the way.
All the way.
I'm telling you.
I have a strong second, but...
I pledge allegiance to the Republic of the United States of America.
So many quotable lines.
Yeah?
I mean, every time when the family sits down to grace at a holiday meal, I go,
grace!
I pledge allegiance to the flag.
I mean, Chevy Chase's tirade... is honestly
when he gets his gift card instead of a bonus.
Yes, yes. That tirade is genuinely one of the greatest moments in film.
Yeah.
Period. Hot take. Greatest moment in film.
The whole movie.
Everybody
so
should have a cousin Eddie.
Yes.
Oh yes.
Everybody
that
doesn't have a cousin
far
Eddie.
Away.
We've all had that neighbor too.
I think
Todd, if you don't go over there and take care of it right now.
No, I love that movie. It's a Christmas treat. There's a few others that I really like, but yeah, that's my favorite.
What about you, Carl? What's your good?
It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, old school. Yeah. Wow. Right.
Yeah.
Classics.
I cry every time. It's embarrassing. The kids are like, Dad, seriously? Like, just even in the very beginning, like when the little blinky lights are talking to each other.
I do the same thing with the first Deadpool movie.
Are you
that's
the guy?
My bad ear, Mr. Gower. Oh my gosh.
So
what about you, Mike? What's yours?
I really love Christmas Vacation. I would say right behind that is A Christmas Story. Okay. You know, it's the Red Ryder BB gun story is absolutely just priceless. And, you know, we used it in a clip for an award. It's a really big award, you know. So it's just when they're putting up the lamp in the window. I mean, I'm sorry, but that is way too funny for me. I die laughing every time, you know. He's standing out there at the street with a neighbor going, a little bit to the left, you know. It's like, you know, I mean, sorry, that is just really hilarious.
So I have a sort of a tie. I'm going to be the Juliana on this one. So Die Hard, to me,
there you go,
is the best Christmas movie that there's ever been.
I can go along with that.
But then also Home Alone. I think those two are two of the best Christmas movies.
Yeah, I forgot about that. I had not watched Home Alone in probably 10, 15 years. And me and June watched it last year at Christmas.
The John Candy
it's such
part,
a great movie. Yep.
Dude, it's like his part in it. I think they had him for a day to shoot. And like John Candy to me is like one of the greatest comedic actors of his.
Oh, yeah.
That whole thing was improvised.
Yeah. Right.
Like there was no script for that. They were just like, John, do your thing.
Yeah.
And he did it so well.
It was incredible.
Yeah, the Polka King of, I can't even remember, but it was just.
I know.
Ypsilanti or something.
And that just spoke to all the ancestors.
You know, polka, the polka twist. Yeah, it was killer. How about you?
Well, I mean, I have to say to a degree, Die Hard, because I wouldn't be my husband's wife if I wasn't. Which is, I mean, it is like, we watch it every year.
Yippee-ki-yay, Mom.
But I also like those like dorky little animated, you know, like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
You like the Rankin Bass.
Just like, because there's something creepy but yet cool
it's
about all
like
of them.
My Santa voice.
So
exactly.
The one that didn't come up that I'm surprised nobody said is my second favorite, which is Elf.
Yes.
Elf is a really funny movie.
I really can't say.
Yeah. Okay.
Third favorite would be Bad Santa, but that's a different show.
Well, that's another time. Yes. Okay.
Back to bad beer.
Let's get to another beer. So this one is from the Lost Abbey.
Mary Taj.
In Vista, California. And this is Mary Taj. The name Mary Taj IPA pays homage to the holiday celebration going on from sea to sea, encapsulating the hope of a new year. It's also a play on a term from the wine world, maritage.
Mike?
Maritage?
Yeah, so maritage is a bad idea in wines, but...
Okay.
Okay. Maybe it's a good idea for.
Although they say it's a damn fine blend of
it
hops
is.
In this
That's
case.
Just it. It's it's usually a blend from hell that, you know, of all the winemakers' unintended
all the stuff they couldn't get rid of.
Pretty much, yeah. That's what I. This is a really well crafted beer.
Yeah.
That's the thing that strikes me right off the bat is that. This was just something that was really good to start with, and they actually made it better. I don't know what they did, you know, beyond what they started with, but this seems like it started off as a simple IPA that kind of moved along into the point that I would actually declare probably a double. I mean, it's a big beer.
It's 8.5% ABV.
Yeah.
You know, this beer makes me think about Kendall and I's favorite beer of this time of the year.
Yeah.
The Sierra Nevada Celebration. Mm-hmm. It's not on this list, but it's
similar.
Bingo. This has all that West Coast piney, you know,
big
component
West Coast
to it.
Bitter caramel.
Absolutely.
Like you're outside
Cascade
in the forest.
Hops all day long.
Yeah.
This also reminds me of something that, what is that Anchor would do too?
Steam.
Their Christmas ale?
Yeah.
The Christmas
ale. You know what I mean? And it just like, it harkens me to a vintage time when like beer was kind of in your face, like, you know, kind of hop wise and wasn't full of all the spices and things like that.
Yeah, I'm loving it. It is a classic West Coast double IPA back in the days when there was caramel malt in them and some aggressive bitterness, and it's really well balanced.
What they said about this was that, like, you know, the Lost Abbey, they're known for like sours and like all these different things, but at at the end of the day, they're all still hop heads too.
Yeah.
And yep. I think they did a great job with this.
Great beer.
Yeah. Terrific.
I would have felt like this had been something actually produced more by Sierra Nevada, you know, or Lagunitas. It just has, you know, all of those big, booming, you know, West Coast IPA hops to them. And yet I really find that this is incredibly well executed. Very, you know, it has a great finish. It has a great start. I love this beer. This is very well made.
Yep. That's an excellent beer.
Yeah. And for people that don't like, you know, dark stouts, this is really for you. Like, this is.
You could take this to a holiday party.
If there's anything to flush out all of the Candy Cane men out of my mouth, it would be this, and it worked really
well.
This
is going to be a good beer with a lot of big holiday foods, especially rich, fatty foods.
Oh, yeah.
This will stand up.
Oh, yeah. All day long with cranberry.
You know what, Mike? Why don't we mix a little bit of this with a little bit of that Candy Cane stuff and see what you think?
Negative.
Come on, Mike.
It's already happened on my palate.
That'll be our Christmas present.
This just completely scraped everything away, and I love it. So, yeah, really great beer all day long.
Yay to Lost Abbey. This one, the Meritage, we're going to rate a 5.
When I was picking all these out, I was like, this is going to be an outlier one way or the other.
That's either going to be awesome.
I think the only thing I'm disappointed about with that beer is it's gone, and I need more. So,
there's another can. Yeah,
so there we go.
Good.
Great beer.
Yeah, that is pretty tasty. Yeah. Okay, Kendall.
That's right.
Sorry, is that your mating call?
Maybe.
That's my love language.
Give us, when you think of the holidays, what's the first thing that pops into your head? Like Christmas holidays.
Wow.
I mean, whether it's like family, friends, tradition and your wife do, or what?
It's just that the time slows down and you get to spend a few days with family that you normally don't get. And that's kind of what I like about it.
Mm. Cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We call it the land where time forgot, you know, where it's just people kind of wander in and out of your world and whenever I work in a bar, right? So it's just people wander in. They don't know where they are, what day it is. Yeah.
It is Carl here. He gives me free drinks.
I'm not sure we've met.
You may be thinking of another Carl.
Yeah, probably.
Different so, part of it.
Mike, like, you know, now you're like grandpa times two. Like, what are the holidays for you?
Oh, now? You know, it's very easy for me to say right away. It's tradition from my mom's family that goes back a very long time. I mean, probably over 150 years. We make a recipe that spans time and space. They're aniseed cookies, and we make them, and I am the grandchild that, you know, kept that tradition going, and I'm in the process of ushering this on to my own kids. And actually, I was working on making the cookie dough right before production day today. So my wife does not like aniseed. But she still loves the tradition, and it gives us, you know, a great time together, you know, around a table just to sit and decorate and have fun. And I'm looking forward to doing that, you know, with my grandchildren as well. So,
that's awesome, dude.
Yeah, it is. It's a very good time. We used to make a whole lot of these. We used to make probably upwards of, you know, 6 or 7 dozen, give them away as gifts, but we would decorate for almost like 2-3 solid days. And that turned off the fun factor out of this. So,
started becoming a job,
and I decided to get back to, you know, a little closer of just sticking with tradition, and, you know, for us to enjoy really making the cookies as much as we love to give them away. My twist on this very long tradition is that we used to wind up with a lot of cookies that didn't quite make it. You know, we'd have a gingerbread man that was missing a foot or an arm, or we would wind up with, you know, a 5-pointed star that wound up being a 4-pointed star. And so we added to the tradition of making misfit cookies. And so we actually have a whole batch of cookies that just basically don't make the cut.
The island of misfit cookies.
And so we actually have a whole thing that's aligned with the island of misfit cookies. And I give away there's a word puzzle and all of the stuff from the island of misfit cookies. And we actually have, you know, a bunch of the ornaments, you know, that are aligned towards those characters. And So we actually choose a special family. Usually it's someone that has small kids. We actually show up on their front door and sing a couple of carols and give them Misfit cookies. So it's a really cool tradition. I've really enjoyed it.
Here's some bad singing and
some bad singing,
bad singing and broken cookies.
Correct. Yeah. You know,
Christmas, suckers.
So, but. And it means a little bit more this year with my mom passing away since the last time we did this. And so it's really great that, you know, we get to carry on a tradition from her family. And I really love that.
That's awesome, dude.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Dave, what do you think about?
So my only personal Christmas tradition is, you were talking about you like those, you know, old school animated Christmas movies. There's a Mad TV sketch from back in the 90s called Raging Rudolph. There's like a take on The Godfather meets Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Okay, that I watch. Okay. I watch it every year without fail.
So Rudolph, we're going to the mattresses this year.
That's exactly it.
Yeah. Santa's. I'm talking no crap, no like red thing in the sky. We're going to the mattresses.
Am I a clown? Do I make you laugh? Yeah, exactly. It's the Godfather, Goodfellas. Gotta look that up. Every mob movie meets Rudolph the Red.
Is that available on DVD?
Yeah. They're all sticky though, Mike.
Oh my God.
That's cool.
Yeah. What about you?
For me, so growing up, Christmas was different than tradition than English.
Oh, that's
Christmas.
Right. You always wait a week. Yeah.
13 days. Yeah. Yes. So.
So you got everything half price.
Yes. So Russian Christmas, or as I called it, Russian Christmas, because I'm Russian Orthodox, was on January 7th traditionally.
It's weird that it's called Russian, but it's always late.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Hey, Carl liked it. That's
so for Christmas Eve, it's a big candlelight dinner. We have 12 foods for the 12 wise men. We have hay under the table.
There were 12 wise men?
Well,
I thought there were three.
Things. No, well, there were like 12.
There's 12 days of Christmas, okay?
No, but there were 12 things.
Donkeys.
12, gold, yes, frankincense, and myrrh. Where are the other 12 wise men?
There's Lord's Leaping. I know that. And there's some maids milking. No,
I think so there were some people that had that rogue beer.
So there was a lot of fish. There was this thing called kishelitsa, which tasted like wallpaper paste, but my mother absolutely loved it. It's like this soup.
How do you know what wallpaper paste tasted like? That's what I want to know.
Well,
was there a mint overtone to it?
You know, like wallpaper.
Was it the nitro? Was it the nitro that made it taste like that?
It needed to have the nitro actually on it, but it was just this like candlelight dinner that was very holy, very traditional, and we always saved a spare seat for our ancestors to come and join us at the table. And it was just a very traditional thing. So that was just, yeah, that was like the coolest part about Christmas.
Yeah, pass me the mint jello. And the wallpaper paste.
No mint jello. No. But my grandmother.
Hey, talk about stick to your ribs kind of food.
Anyways, to be continued in just a minute. Not just
the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Welcome back, everyone. Today is a day about celebrating the holidays.
Even though you're torturing us.
Season. You're welcome. Look, isn't that what most family does to you at some point?
I can think of which cousin I'd serve this next beer.
Okay, so what we're going to talk about is the Special Brewery in Shiner, Texas.
Oh, my gosh.
The Shiner Holiday Cheer Dunkelweizen. So this special beer...
Clean up aisle six.
Okay, it was first brewed in 2010.
And then they decided to keep doing it.
Oh my gosh!
Okay, and in 2013, it took the bronze in the Australian International Beer Awards.
Or were they tasting it right to left instead of right to left? I'm telling you, what was going on?
They were the only entry, and they're like, "Look, we can't give them gold. We can't give them silver.
So we're gonna give them bronze.
We gotta give them something."
Okay,
you had to go out of the country to meddle with this beer.
So this is 5.4% ABV.
Welcome to the Canadian IPA Invitational.
Oh, welcome to Down Under. Yeah. It tastes like...
Okay, this is a Texan Old World Dunkelweizen brew with Texas peaches and roasted pecans.
On a scale of five, this is like a -3.
Well, so, they say it goes well with fruitcake.
It goes well with a green apple Jolly Rancher. That is the cornerstone taste profile of this beer.
Yep, green this, apple.
Not for me.
It's. I don't remember it being tasting like this. I mean...
This is so bad.
I don't know. About 10 years ago, I was working in a beer shop, and I remember at Christmas time, this was a popular draft beer, but I don't remember it tasting like this.
This is so bad.
Maybe the peaches went.
I would just like to say that I really like Shiner Bock.
I love Shiner.
I think Shiner Bock is a great beer.
Some of the one-off Shiners are good. I just had a dry hop Pilsner from Shiner called like Cosmo Special. It was fantastic. They can make great beers, but this is
an
not.
Adjunct. I think somebody stepped up to a dartboard and threw at it and went, the flavor profile is green apple.
Well, you know, we had that Shiner pack, Mike, a few months ago that there were some... You know, like Shiner Light and a couple of things that were really good. But this is not so much.
I really feel like with holiday beers, some breweries approach a holiday beer like, hey, now's the time where we can really capture a share of the market of people who want to buy something that doesn't taste like beer. And so they're going to try to make it taste like something else.
Oh, I think this is a marketing limiting decision is what this would be. So, yeah.
But from a sales perspective, like somebody might buy that because they'll say, oh, well, pecans and peaches, and I like all those things.
Yeah, people in South Dakota, they don't know what good beer is. So,
Mike, we had some beers from South Dakota that were really good. So they are. So they
maybe they should they promote this into North Dakota. So.
It's just that it's like a fake bad peach. It's just a really bad beer.
Okay.
So for my Christmas present, let's stop talking about this beer.
Okay. We are going to God bless rate the Shiner Holiday Cheer Dunkelweizen A1.
That is kind.
Okay. Okay, hopefully on to better things. So the next one is from Abita. So now we're going to Louisiana.
It's better than the last one.
And this is the seasonal Christmas ale. 5.8%. It's classified as a dark ale. It's a brown ale that is brewed with 6 types of malted barley and fermented with American ale yeast. And then it is hopped and dry hopped with Columbus Cascade, Centennial, and Amarillo.
It's the invasion of the gingerbread man. That's what it is, you know? Yeah.
It tastes like an American brown ale.
Yep.
It's a hoppy brown ale.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Laced with all those baking spices that you just really love to hate combined with a brown ale. That's, you know, clove and cinnamon and allspice and all that crap. It's just,
I don't get that on this. Smoking
crack or something?
No. Yeah.
I don't get any of that on this.
I just taste a hoppy brown ale.
I get the hops. I don't get any... real spice.
I think Mike's having an allergic reaction to the Shiner.
Maybe. Do you remember when Dogfish Head did their India Brown Ale?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Like, man, that beer was so great.
That was good.
And I don't think this is as good as that was, or at least as good as my memory of that was. Yeah. But that's what this is trying to do, right? Yeah. Like, it's just a hoppy brown ale. And I like the idea that you can make a holiday beer that isn't a slave to
style.
Cinnamon.
Because what you're about to pour in your next cup is...
No, and honestly, for New Orleans being, well, Louisiana in general being like this assault of, like, you know, almost like Cajun-y kind of flavors, mm-hmm. I'm surprised and happily surprised that they've sort of dialed down what their version of a Christmas beer
is. As long as it doesn't taste like Old Bay, I think we're okay.
I
would drink an Old Bay beer. I'm not gonna lie.
I've yet to run into an Abita beer that I really like. Wow, this is maybe the pecan. I want to say there's a pecan beer, you know, in their lineup, but
yeah. I really like Turbo Dog.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Turbo Dog. Man, that's I haven't had one of those in 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We should go get one today. I don't know. We gotta find one.
I can think of the OG Total Wine. Like back in the day when you didn't have a lot of options, mm-hmm. that was really good.
I think they're a lot better.
It was always on
brown nails in this all day long. Mm-hmm. I'm not a fan of this at all. There's nothing that says this is festive, a holiday.
I like it too.
Other than the branding about it, that's about it.
Listen, grumpy old man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ho, Santa does not like this. Grandpa stuff doesn't mean you have to be Grandpa Simpson. No, yeah.
And like, what a great, cute little Santa on there. You know?
How different can you be from everybody else at the table?
I'm going to drop a lump of coal to you. On all of you. That's what I'm going to do.
Oh my gosh. All right. Good humans are going to rate the Abita Christmas Ale, otherwise known as our brown ale, a 4.
No. Don't worry, Mike. You can fix it in post.
Well, you know, I can.
I will. Fix it in post. I'm not even going to play the I like it thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not even going to do that to you.
Okay, so it's very titillating. We're going to go to Fat Bottom in Nashville, and we're going to do the Noel Christmas or Spice Christmas Ale.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of those holiday spices. This has holiday spices.
Oh yes.
With the exception of the peppermint beer, is this the first one that we've had that has had what I would consider traditional holiday spices in it?
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. This is a mistletoe bomb. All day long. I didn't think I was going to say those words, you know, after
Okay, so this is brewed with Tennessee honey, ginger, cinnamon, and cloves.
Yeah, it's way too much clove.
What does that smell like to you, Mike?
And they suggest you to serve it in a pint glass rimmed with honey and cinnamon, too.
Mm, you son of a...
Yeah, welcome to the muddled...
You know, honey is not cheap, so why waste a bunch of honey?
And screw up a great beer. Yeah, this just... tastes like, you know, an adjunct recipe that just got away from them and there's no cohesive plan. It was more of like, oh, wow, cool. That's sticking to the side of the wall, the fermenter. Let's just do that. You know, if there was an intended destination with this, they missed it.
You know what, though? Maybe to the uneducated, this might be holiday-ish. Okay. I'm not trying to sound dumb here though, but okay, think about our rooftop bars in Nashville for Christmas holidays and our bars in general, Christmas holiday cocktails, not the good places, but the average places.
They're all drinking peppermint schnapps.
So in the grand scheme of things, isn't this just a version of one of those cocktails? Do you know what I mean?
I think if you are somebody that really enjoys cinnamon, nutmeg, clove,
this is fine.
Then you would like that.
Right. No. This is like the old school ham that your grandmother made.
Yeah. Without the smoke. Ham beer. Right? Like if it was smoky.
Yeah, if it had some saltiness, maybe that would make this better.
Too much clove.
This has me running to the other side of the room to go, do you have any eggnog? Any eggnog.
Maybe if you
any made eggnog. This, even if it's bad eggnog, I will take it. If
you made this as a Rausch beer, maybe that would
work. No, this is not a good Rausch
beer. I wonder if you have a barrel-aged version of this that we could try.
Yeah, that would be crazy. Would you think that
wouldn't funny. That be weird? I think it'd be so weird if you just happen to have a barrel aged version of this.
Let's take a bad idea and let's drop it into a barrel. This is a really great idea, Carl.
Barrel of what?
I've done that. anything to cover up the base taste profile of this. You know, yes.
Well, Carl.
Do we have extra cups here?
Funny you should say that. Okay, so based on this one alone, the Fat Bottom Noel,
I'm just gonna
Spice Christmas Ale. Okay, also, does this taste 7.7% ABV?
I can't even.
No way.
It tastes like an early exit.
It tastes like about 5%.
Same. There's no way I would have said that was 7%.
Yeah. No.
So in that respect,
this is kind of shocking to me.
So it's kind of like a Christmas roofie in a way.
Yeah. Oh my God.
It'll get you there.
Oh my gosh. She's right.
What are you doing later?
Yeah. I was about to say,
about
the only way I could enjoy this would be comatose.
Going to show you my candy cane later.
Okay. But it does not taste 7.7.
Doesn't taste like anything but bad.
Tastes like a bad decision.
Wow. Okay. That
one, are we going to do this to it?
Carla from accounting, this is a wonderful story that I don't want to hear from the
We're going to call this one a write-off.
There we go. Finally.
Ooh. Okay. Well, we are going to rate the Fat Bottom Noel Spice Christmas Ale a 1. Now, Carl just happened to think, hey, throw this in a barrel and I'm sure it's going to be great. So we are now going to drink the barrel-aged Noel.
Idea. It smells better.
The limited release.
Listen, Carl was
just
right.
Just for you.
I think Carl was right.
It smells
9.7% ABV.
Damn, son.
Wait, how did it go up that much? Did they leave half of the barrel of whiskey in it?
I love the acceleration at the end of the bottom. I will say this really improved dramatically.
It did. It does taste better. It 100% tastes better.
It has masked such a muddled mess and actually brought around, was this Irish whiskey? Because it tastes like Irish whiskey
to
me.
You remember how on the Rogue when we were saying like the balance between an adjunct and a beer, and if the adjunct overtakes the beer too much, it could be wrong. Somehow the adjunct in this one being the whiskey barrel has overtaken the beer, and I think they did it right.
I think that they actually improved this dramatically.
Yeah. A lot of times, at least at Black Abbey, what we do is we rinse the barrels before we put beer in them because we want to get wood and vanilla and we don't want to get super boozy.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's really appropriate to
mask
boozy,
the really bad beer.
Right? And
let's pour more whiskey into this thing. Yeah.
Well, and honestly, I would guess that they made a separate batch of this beer and they made it a little stronger because I think our general rule of thumb is that you pick up about 1 point ABV wise from a barrel. So they probably brewed
easily.
It to about, 8.2.
Yeah.
And then barreled that. And, I think
is
the barrel
it
really
absorbing the spirit or because it's
I would have a half a can of this.
Yeah, it for us it what I think the way that we approach barreling beer is that we keep all our barrels temperature controlled.
Yeah.
Because in the whiskey world you want the liquid to move in and out of the staves.
Yeah.
Whereas in the beer world you really don't because you could pick up a lot of harsh tannic flavors that unless you're brewing a 12, 13, 14% beer, the beer can't it can't balance it. Like it can't maintain the its flavor
integrity.
It's going
to get overtaken by those off flavors.
And so we rinse the spirit first and then we keep the barrels at cellar temp. So we usually keep them about 39, 40 degrees.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So in this, I'm not overwhelmed by booze, but I mean, there sure is plenty of it, but it's not overwhelming in this.
It kind of rounds it out
exactly but honestly I feel like it mellows the cinnamon and the spiciness of it
and
makes it a little bit more palatable.
It makes it a toddy.
This is a huge improvement. This is a beer
it's surprisingly
actually,
better.
Yeah, I really like this.
So this actually was
crazy?
A bonus beer. So
this is a good bonus beer.
So okay. I was right. Just like to point attention at myself.
Yes,
Carl. Mm. Yeah.
Thank God we have good old boy Carl with us today.
Well,
welcome. I like how she looked at Mike.
Did Mike give it a higher rating than you?
Wow.
Yeah. Welcome to Beer Rescue with Carl.
Okay. So this Black Friday Barrel Age Noel release, according to the website, is We are going to rate this a 4.
Hmm. What? So a 1 to a 4.
This week, wow. I actually took a Belgian Golden that I've had sitting on a whiskey barrel for 3 years.
Why'd you leave it sitting on the barrel?
And it is really
didn't it fall off.
It's really fascinating. What kind of barrel is it? It's a bourbon barrel.
From Kentucky?
I think it's Indiana? A National Barrel Company. I think it's a MGP barrel. Yeah.
Okay.
So I think it's a
and a straight, no funkiness.
No, no. Okay.
This was the
we
first
are going to add some adjuncts on it. It needs a little bit of sugar to it. And I was talking with
stick your finger in there.
Yeah, a little sugar. The brewer that we're collaborating with, and he and I both agreed, just needed a little bit of vanilla, just a hint, you know, to kind of kick it up just a little bit, you know, from where it's at. But yeah, it's definitely barrel aging is not for the for the meek by any standard. No. Yeah,
it can very easily turn into garbage.
Yeah, yeah. You really got to be flexible, you know, and pay attention to what's going on for sure. So.
Well, what a wonderful episode today. And aren't we all in the amazing holiday spirit? Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Well, that's going to do it for today. Good old boy, Kendall. Thanks so much for being here.
It was a pleasure. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Please tell us about your blog.
My beautiful wife and I blog about the good news of good beer at beermakes3.com.
Good old boy Carl, thanks so much for being here and helping us to have a nice, happy ending to this episode.
Peace, love, and humptiness forever.
Please tell us what you do in your day life.
I work for Nashville's Black Abbey Brewing Company, and you can find us at blackabbeybrewing.com.
And on your sidekick?
And you can also look me up on Instagram at DJ Dad's Been Drinking with no G.
Yes. Good old boy, Mike.
Check out another great episode of Sip, Suds, and Smokes. I'll ask you to keep on sipping.
Good old boy, Dave.
I can't believe you thank Carl for a happy ending.
This is good old gal, Juliana. Keep on chugging and catch you next time.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @SipSudsAndSmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions,
and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see y'all next time.